You've been chowing course, but maybe even devouring course. You've been pitching up. You have been putting in the grind and working for the day you can finally reap the fruits of your efforts. Then the unthinkable happens. Your sister has fallen gravely ill. This is the worst spanner in the works possible. What can we do? If you have ever been in any unfortunate, powerless position, this one is for you, as Adele shares with us her harrowing experience dealing with the feelings of powerlessness far away from home, and how she actually overcame this problem. We chat about coping with personal issues on the road, the art of accounting, her aspiration of one day writing a book, whether AI will replace artists, and of course, more. Hope you enjoy. Very, very, very quick one, my travelers on the road. I just wanted to say that I'm rooting for you. Go out, kill the day, kill the afternoon, kill the midday, whatever it is, whatever you're about to do, kill that rest. Go out and do your best. Know that I am in your corner. Also, if you haven't already, check out part one linked in the show notes. On to part two.
Let's go deeper down the struggles path. I'm sorry to be going down this difficult road, but this is the road to CA, so it's tough. You experienced something really tough back in first year, and it was not your choice. It was not your doing. It was a matter of circumstance. Can you walk me through that really tough time so that aspiring CAs can also get through similar instances back when you came to UCT all the way from Swaziland?
Okay, maybe I should just start from the beginning.
Okay, and how let's it start actually from the happened. Beginning.
Well, at the beginning of 2022, I wasn't aware that my mom is sick, you know. Mm-hmm. I wasn't aware. I was told after I got my A-levels results, I think towards February, yeah, towards the end of January that year. It changed a lot, because I was having thoughts of like, what if I lose my mom? I'm here trying to go to varsity. I got rejected some universities.
Yeah.
I won't mention, but yeah, UCT accepted me, and that's fine. And okay, my mom is sick. She's going to have an operation. I'm there, like, struggling to get funding, you know, because, it's tough getting a government scholarship, especially when there are a lot of us who did A-levels. Especially going to UCT, because UCT is very expensive. So, it's a lot. It's a very competitive thing. But then Alan Gray pulled through for me, thank God. And then, whilst working through that and sorting out everything about study permits, my mom was going for an operation, and I wasn't sure if she was going to make it or all that. But she did. She did. And then she was at home. She took a sick leave for a couple of months. But as I was preparing to leave, it was very tough on me to just see her like that, you know, because I'm packing, I'm doing everything. It's supposed to be an exciting moment for all of us, you know. She's just sick, and there's nothing I can do. Like, I have to go. And I was late for school. I just had to go. So, I left with the whole situation a bit unclear as to if she'll recover or not, or it might have complications, her operation might have complications. And I left and I got to UCT. And as I was in first year, I was in my room at Tago. I was like, ish. Okay, the situation is at home is a bit, it's unfair, you know, because I never thought it'd be like that when I go to varsity. My mom is sick. I don't know. Any day they might tell me she's gone. It's really tough. And yeah, each time we talk via video call, they'll be acting like it's fine. But I didn't think it was fine, you know, because I'm like, I left my siblings. They're experiencing everything. Like, they're also going to school and then coming back and seeing mom there. She's in bed. She couldn't move a lot. She couldn't move her arms. Yeah, it was a very hectic operation. So yeah, she basically couldn't really do anything on her own. So yeah, just maybe they were going to school and then coming back and seeing her like that. And I'm here. I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to catch up. It's complicated, and they're not saying anything. That's the thing, because nobody can tell me anything. Because yeah, there's my dad at home, but like he also won't say anything because he wants me to focus. You know, I came late. I'm trying to catch up. I have to pause because I have to retain my bursary. It was just weird on me, and they're not saying anything because I actually want to know what's happening. Like, be kept up to date, and it's just. I'm not getting the information. I'm not getting any information. You know, our families, guys, they do a lot to protect us, like for real. They just honestly, everything they do is they in their best interest. They really want us to succeed at varsity because they know it gets tough. So they don't want to be an extra burden. But the fact that you care about them, it takes a lot from you as a student. You think about it, and that can distract you in ways that you can't even imagine, you know. It really drains you. And yeah, with that, I had to just go to therapy, you know, and just understand that she'll be fine. And maybe this is God's way of just showing us that he's still there, he's still got us. And yeah. That's just it.
And the word that came to my mind when you were mentioning that feeling when, there was this pressure of your bursary, like now you're literally across, you're across the continent. Now you're because Eswatini to Cape Town is not a short distance. And add the border, the actual border, it's not a short way. And there's just so much pressure. I just thought about the word powerless. Like you feel powerless in such a moment. Because it's not like you could just fly back or do something to make it better. Like, but at the same time, there's still so much pressure, and you're also an older sibling. You're the eldest of three, am I correct? Yes, and so now there's you are someone who feels responsible, and having that powerlessness is tough, that feeling of powerlessness. What would you say to someone going through a similar situation, what do you think they should do in order to cope with it? Because now you're past it, you've processed it quite well. What would you say they should maybe do as a little bit of advice from your perspective?
Well, I believe in God, and God is there, guys. So yeah, I would honestly just say pray, pray, and God will give you the strength to realize that sometimes some things are just out of your control, and it's okay. It's okay. Trust that He will be with you through it all. And as well, meet him halfway. If you need to talk to someone, talk to someone, even if it's a friend. Okay, if you feel like a friend can't help you, go for therapy. You know, if you can't pay for those expensive therapists, I'm sure every university has a student counselor. They do have it. So just go for those sessions and they will help you. They will. They are
I
always
think
available. You just need to reach out.
the two huge things that you've said is, so for those who are religious, prayer can take you out of those dark spaces. And I think to translate for those who aren't, making peace with the uncontrollable, that is huge, 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 huge. Because if you cannot do anything about it, just forget about it, because it's nothing you can control. It's not like studying next week for the test. That's within your control. Studying for the test next week is absolutely within your control, but such instances aren't. And so making peace with it has to happen. And peace comes through prayer. So pray about it, And then the second one is speak up. That's talking to the people around you. And I think professional help really helps if you are not comfortable with certain people saying certain things. It really helps with having a contractually safe space. You know what I'm saying? It's literally you've paid for this being in a university. You have a contractually safe space, and so using those and speaking up in those instances is key. You are also very curious, Adele. Now I want to zone into the book. What would that book be about, do you think, that you aspire to write?
Wow. I wonder what it's gonna be about. At one point I thought maybe it should be an autobiography. But I feel like that is a bit overrated as well. I mean, everybody might be doing that. I feel like celebrities do that. Or they do what is it called? A memoir.
Yeah,
Something like that.
memoir. Yeah,
Something
yeah,
like that. So it's like it's a, it might be a trend.
yeah.
It might be me just falling into a trend. I don't want something like that. But honestly, and then another thing I had was just having maybe a book for kids,
Oh.
a coloring book that is very
Okay.
unique. Like something that just blends art but is also impactful, something that allows us to just, because the more we continue with the years, it's the more we realize that tech and gadgets are going to dominate our lives. Honestly, everything that we do needs our phones, our laptops, so we're always glued to our screens. So I was hoping for something maybe that's different in the sense that it allows families to bond. And maybe if they could do like coloring, something that is artistic, but use DIY type of tools to maybe fill in the spaces, make something like a guideline, sort of like a book with a guideline of how to do everything. Like every piece of drawing that might appear there, the family has to do something for that, and then they're going to be coloring or painting or whatever. But it was something like that as well. But I think maybe a story about my life. My life. That's definitely the one, definitely the one. A story about my life and how maybe small girl from Eswatini rose up the ranks of corporate. Something like that. To just inspire people.
And
Inspirational.
you mentioned yo that I also I'm quoting you and Mr. Gama here. The view from the top, it's amazing. That for me, you also like mountains over beaches. We were talking about it earlier, and I can see why you like the view, because the view from the top is breathtaking. I also actually want to go into art now as well. You mentioned that technology is going to take over, and you are an artiste. So what do you think about this whole AI art thing? Do you think that ChatGPT is going to be able to paint, going to be able to replace you as the artist?
Think so.
You don't
I
think so?
genuinely
Why?
don't think so. I just feel like art is an expression of self. And as far as I know, ChatGPT can't take a human trait. So it doesn't possess, it's not programmed to possess the emotions that people have. It can only apply logic, and art is not logical. It doesn't follow logic. It is just you with the brush or you with the pencil. So if I could draw you with my pencil, it's me applying myself, my time, and maybe taking out something or maybe drawing you in my own lenses. So you might, you won't, you would look the same, but the texture of the paper and everything that is incorporated in it will not, it will feel like extraordinary, if I may say that. You will be able to see what I was seeing when I was drawing you. But with AI, it's like, I'm drawing this. If it will draw you anyways, it will just give you a copy of yourself, and that doesn't, it doesn't show anything, doesn't show emotion, doesn't show any sentiments. It's just there, like everything is quick, everything is fast. But the process of seeing yourself coming together, because if a person uses a certain thing to bring out a certain thing, like maybe let's say if someone were to do some a sort of a sculpture of you, it would take a lot of time, and it will make you appreciate it even more that this person took their time. They invested a portion of their life in this piece to bring about maybe your face. That in itself is more valuable than just something, a machine making you out. Like, yes, you can do 3D printing, whatever, but it's not a person who made that. There's always something about human beings being attached to other people. Like, we thrive on connection, we thrive on relationships with other individuals. So if the other person took their own time to do something for you, that will always be in your heart. You will always value it. It's more valuable than a machine. Like, even if you could be close to AI, maybe be close to like Siri or something like that, it doesn't hit the same. It'll never hit the same. So art really does show how our environment is. It encapsulates our ecosystem. And a person can really bring about different ecosystems in their art. Because someone who brings about abstract art might see the world in a very different lens. And someone who paints abstract art, or maybe paints those, you know, those fine lines, and you'd feel like you don't understand what's happening until they explain it to you. Since the world is a place, you know, there's beauty in the chaos, some might say. So if a person explains that to you like that, you understand that they actually see the world differently. But if you are a person who likes seeing things as they are, like visuals and taking out visuals as they are, then that's another person who likes perfectionism, like who thrives on seeing things as they are. Like, that really brings about different perspectives. The different perspectives make up art. They give you a sense of we're all different, and our ecosystems are very different. And if we can actually be in those different ecosystems through the pieces that people give us, then we can say that we're all connected. You know, the world is becoming
Sure.
one in a sense these days, so we will be connected somehow.
I can hear that you're a poet. I can hear it. And immediately my brain started to think about finance. And you know how we call it accounting sciences, financial sciences, the management sciences. Really, what I'm starting to realize and starting to explore is, what about the art of finance? What about the art of constructing a financing structure for the acquisition of a new plot? Because there's an art to it. It's not always going to be this much equity, that much debt. there really is a play. That's what happens when you become a master of these financial things. What about the art of evaluation? Valuations are so subjective. There's so much taste. There's so much preference involved. Like, what does the premium mean? Like, what? When do we put in the discount? You know, what determines this multiple? These things are very artistic. And I think that, you know, when we start to understand more of our work, we start to look further than just, oh, pass, pass, pass. I think we can see art in the topics that we do. What do you think, Adele?
Funny you say that. Because I remember one day, I don't know which year, but I once asked someone about accounting. And I said, do you think accounting is a science or an art? They were like, it's a science. And I'm like, because it's logic. But I'm like, maybe it might be an art, you know, because there's a sort of intricacy in the way we approach things, you know.
It's not very, black and white.
It's not. Mm. It really isn't.
Mm.
An audit opinion doesn't really follow. It might be different for everybody. So that really does give you a sense of different perceptions and perspectives. You know, we might use the same tools, but not come up with the same thing.
We use the same tools and then we might not come up with the same results. We know the basics of this is how you can reduce your tax. This is how you, but the one tax practitioner can deliver a different plan for your life. I mean, you know, I was thinking even about as a business owner, you could go and you could focus on, for an example, maybe you get a salary from your business. That's a completely different structure as opposed to getting a dividend from your business. So getting a salary from your business, you will be taxed at a higher threshold based on the tax tables. But if you instead take dividends from your business, you'll be taxed at the 20%. So it's like, that's art. That's art. That's what you choose. That's all a matter of seeing what's possible. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
As well, Adele, as well, I started to think about also the 7 years that we have in becoming a CA. 7, 8, could be even 9, but basically the 7 years that, you know, art is actually about stories. When you said it is about the process, the person behind the art, the actual story behind the creation of this product, I see a lot of this CASA thing being us painting a picture, painting a story. And this 7 years can be your canvas. It really can be your canvas if you don't just look at the science of, yes, I will get the 4 letters. Yes, I will get this mark. Yes, I will get this done and that done, which you absolutely have to do. But then within the frame of the science, you have the painting of the picture. And I just love your poetic and artistic take, which gets me thinking about also the poetic and the artistic side of accounting. Yo, hey, this is a nice one.
Yo, wow.
Yo.
Yo. Easy,
I'm like, I've never been on this rabbit hole of like the art and accounting. I've thought about it, but I've gone deeper than I've ever gone. Yo, Adele, this was fine. This was fire. Adele, for those aspiring CAs out there that are early in the journey, if you could go back to first year, second year, maybe even high school, you, what would you tell her?
Well, so go back to high school, I suppose. I would say be flexible in your approach. Don't be rigid, you know. allow yourself to tap into more things, enhance yourself, and it does get better with time the more you apply yourself. And success isn't just one way, there are different ways of getting there. And so, by being flexible, you allow yourself to tap into more opportunities that will bring you closer to what you want. And really just stay the course. Stay the course and finish what you've started. Honestly, that's one thing I'd say.
Okay, so be flexible. Like water, be like water. That's what Bruce Lee said. It gets better with time. Just literally stay the course, trust the process. And lastly, success isn't one way. So keep flexible, and your success is not someone else's success. It's all different. There's different approaches, and understand that your approach is not wrong. It's different. Adele, that was absolutely fantastic. Guys, please, Ndacela, so please, if you've not already, follow this. You might be watching this on YouTube. We usually only do audio versions, but seeing that this is now a remote interview, we have the capacity for video, which I'm so excited to have Adele be, potentially the first video episode. This is amazing, Adele. Please share this with other aspiring chartered accountants out there. We need more support, guys. We need to make sure that we're all gaining all the value from each other, from all these aspiring CAs that are on the platform. I hope that it does not end, but that it begins in CASA. Adele, thank you so much. Yo, this is amazing.